Thank you for inviting us. I hope John wasn't sorry that he actually let me get up here and talk. So the word tesoro in Spanish, some of you probably know this, but in case you don't, the word tesoro in Spanish means treasure. So we're the treasure club. Obviously, the idea behind the treasure is the scriptures. And so we started this, I guess, 14 years ago. Is this our 15th year? I can't count. And what happened was there was a group of little churches out in the East Valley. And these churches are very small. And they don't have any facilities. They don't have staff. But they do have kids. So we worked out a deal to take, obviously, most of you know that we're in the farming business. And we have a cold storage facility that's in the heart of the East Valley. It's right in Thermal. And that cold storage facility sits empty all summer. And so we thought, well, you know, we've got this big facility, lots of room. There's room for indoor soccer or whatever in one building. And then one building is, you know, we turn it into an auditorium. Another building is kind of like our little theater. And so we cool it down. We brought all these kids in. That first year, we didn't have a huge group. It was 44 kids, but you could kind of see that it was working out. And so then the next year, it like doubled, and the next year, it like doubled again. And pretty soon, we got all these kids. Now, I forgot to bring it. I apologize. But I have in my office, I have this wooden cross, and it's about yay tall and about yay wide. And every year when we give the invitation to the kids to come and receive Christ, usually at the end of the week, we have them come up and sign the cross. And we're on our second cross now after so many years. I mean, I can't count all the names on that cross. But it became apparent that we had a lot of kids coming to Christ, but the local churches really didn't have the resources to support what we were doing. So we're not a church, but we kind of fill a function as far as children's ministry. We started a Bible club. Saturday morning Bible club, took one of our facilities that wasn't being used and kind of made it kind of cool, painted it up to look kind of cool and whatnot. So we started a Bible club, and so we had a big group of kids, and my job was to do games and lead worship, believe it or not. And that started growing. And over time, these kids have a way of growing up. And so we started off with a bunch of little kids, then the little kids got bigger, so then we started junior high ministry, and they got bigger, so we started a high school ministry, and turns out we had a big grassy area in front of our facility, which is a perfect place to play soccer, so then we had kids come out on Monday nights and start playing soccer, and then I hooked up with a guy by the name of Todd McCarron, who runs a Bargains Thrift Shop. I don't know if any of you know Todd. Todd used to run the biggest junior high ministry in the entire valley. He was in charge of junior high at Southwest back in the days when they filled that place with junior high kids. And so anyway, he talked me into working together to send kids to camp. So we started sending these kids to summer camp. And so the net effect is we became like, I don't know what you'd call it, but we became the Sunday school, the youth group, the sports ministry, the camp ministry. That's what we, you know, got started doing. So I want to show, well, let me back up a second. So now, right now we have four full-time staff and another four part-time staff. These are people that are paid to do what they do ministry-wise. We have a lady by the name of Karen Reed, who's a master at kids ministry. She when she gets up and tells a Bible story in Spanish to a group of kids, she can really communicate with those kids. She's really gifted. So Karen is our children's ministry director, and so she runs the kids' Bible club. But she also, when she's not doing that, she actually goes out to a lot of the trailer parks and stuff and apartment houses out in the east side of the valley and literally does kind of like mobile Sunday school. She actually shows up in these neighborhoods with the sound system and gets a group of kids together right there in their own neighborhood and does children's ministry. So if she's not doing club with us, she's out doing kids ministry all over the East Valley. And we have another gal by the name of Roberta Ortega. She is the ultimate kids worship leader. She gets up here and she brings so much energy, and she's just like all over the place. She makes me look terrible. But anyway, that's kind of her role, and she works with Kieran with the little kids. And we have, for junior high, we have several people. We have Todd, who I mentioned, who does the camping ministry. He runs our junior high ministry. So it's kind of like having an all-pro, a 10-time Pro Bowl player on your team, to have him come and run our junior high ministry, because this guy's a master at it. And he's got some other staff that come in and help him. He's got another full-time staff member by the name of Yesenia Garcia, who's her story is amazing. And her sister, Nancy Garcia. Now, these two girls, if you heard their testimony, it would bring you to tears. Because it's one of those situations where here's two girls who basically became orphans when they were in junior high, in the most worst of circumstances, didn't know the Lord, went to camp, accepted the Lord at camp, came back, joined a church in East Valley, ended up going to, I think one of them went to Point Loma, and then they both ended up at Calvary Chapel Bible College, and with no help. I mean, they just did it. I say no help. The Lord helped them, but they had no family or anybody to help them do this. God just led them to do it, and they're two of the most gifted ministry people you've ever met. I mean, they're amazing. And Nancy kind of helps run our girls program and our high school program. She's the one that gets the calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. I just got kicked out of the house. Or, you know, she gets the calls from the hospital. So-and-so OD'd on drugs. And she's the one that runs down there and kind of deals with it. She's in the trenches like you can't believe. And we also have a pastor by the name of Lucio Vasquez, who helps us with the high school ministry. What's that? And junior high. And then we have a soccer ministry, and we have several paid staff members to do that. One of them is a guy by the name of C.J. Lamoureux. Now, if any of you guys are involved in soccer here in the Valley, you've probably heard the name C.J. Lamoureux. Worst soccer coach. The best soccer coach and the worst soccer coach. The best soccer coach historically in the Valley before he came to Jesus. Probably the best soccer coach, but you didn't want to play against his team because you talk about over-the-top, competitive, kind of like not a nice guy. That was CJ before he came to Jesus. If you knew him before and you knew him now, you wouldn't believe the difference. It's hard to believe the difference, but he is incredible. It's like a thing of beauty to watch this guy with a group of high school kids out in a soccer field. Not just because of the way he teaches them soccer, but the way he teaches them truth about the Lord and about the scriptures. So then we have another guy by the name of Enrique Cardenas. Enrique was the rock star soccer player in the East Valley. He ended up playing college soccer. He ended up playing pro soccer. He's 30 years old now, and he's the coach at COD, and he's on our staff. And so when he comes out on Monday nights and several nights a week, he brings practically the whole COD soccer team, which, by the way, is one of the best soccer teams in junior college anywhere. I mean, they're fantastic. And so he's kind of a local kid that made good, came to the Lord in college through Athletes in Action. And when he kind of hooked up with us, he was kind of like, wow, I wish there had been something like this when I was a kid out in the East Valley. So it's really exciting to have somebody of that caliber, because if anybody knows anything about soccer in the East Valley, everybody knows they call him Kike. If everybody knows Kike, everybody knows Kike. And have him on our staff is incredible, because if you're a good soccer player, you want to play for him. And so it's amazing how God has just brought this team together of really gifted people from the East Valley. Most of them from the East Valley, and God has raised up a generation of people to do ministry to these kids. Just absolutely amazing. So I'm going to show this video. You'll hear Nancy Garcia on this thing. And anyway, I'm just going to play it real quick just so you kind of get a taste of what it's like. And I hope this works.
My name is Nancy Garcia, and I've been serving alongside this little club for, I'd say, 3 years now. DeSoto offers a lot. It's mainly a discipleship. There's a Saturday Kids Club. We have a big Tuesday night for high schoolers. We also have the soccer league, which meets every Monday. We have games. There's the girls league, which is one that I assist, and then to share the word, I do a small devotional with the girls there. I do a one-on-one discipleship throughout the week, and I also do Bible studies throughout the week. It's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity to come and pour into the lives of kids who don't have that foundation. They need to be given an opportunity to understand the true meaning of the gospel and the freedom of the gospel and the grace of the gospel. And they also need somebody who walks with them, somebody who can come alongside them when they're going through, I mean, you name it. A lot of the kids don't go to church, so this became their youth group. We all pile in. We pick up kids from North Shore, Desert Shore, Coachella, Indio, Mecca. They live in these broken down trailer parks, and all they know is working in the fields because their parents, that's all they've ever learned. Scripture says, you give on to the needy, you give to the orphans, you give to the widows. You're honoring the Lord when you give, no matter what it is, whether it's financially, it can be with your time, it can be with food, it can be clothing, it could be Bibles. Whatever it is that you give, you do it to the honor and glory of the Lord. This is a place that tries to take all those things that are given to give honor to the Lord. We teach these kids who the Lord is, how they can walk with Him, how He's always been there. Without the help of those things, we could never get through. Right now we're going through a difficult phase. The little kids that once were here are now high schoolers, and they're going through some very difficult situations. Pregnancies, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. I mean, everything you can name. No matter what these kids go out and do, whether they go and they struggle and then they come back, our job is to give them Christ. He's the one that's going to transform them and awaken them and remind them, like, wow, like, grace is, it really is here. Like, there is such a thing as grace, and the fact that I can unfortunately go and have to deal with consequences and get myself in trouble, but come back and know He still loves me. He never left me.
Quick video of camp. Camp is a big part of what we do, and this is a little outdated, but let's see if it's going to do it. Let's see if it's going to help me out here. Here we go.
I think my favorite piece of Tesoro is summer camp because it gives the kids a chance to get out from their everyday lives and really get alone with the Lord and with people who love them and leaders that are there to guide them on their faith journey.
Summer camps are amazing because we get kids out of the valley and away from their family situations and the tough things that they're going through in life. And that's when I have really seen heart change in these kids. When you get them outside of camp and outside of their environment, their walls break down and you have breakthroughs that you wouldn't necessarily have here.
Well, I met new friends. And we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of stuff in common.
Well, I love when we were talking about God and praying. It makes me feel better. God hears you when you pray.
It's been really cool to be part of Tesoro for 3 years, to be able to see kids who started in 4th, 5th, 6th grade who are now some of my middle schoolers. And I see them really wanting to walk with the Lord and bringing their Bibles and learning their verses and making a difference in their life and their family's lives.
The reasons that people should volunteer or donate time or resources is because we are seeing life change in these kids out here in the East Valley. Most of these kids come from impoverished situations, and they are coming to a place that is safe and is a refuge, and they're learning about Jesus.
Why I decided to come back is because from all the fun things we do, and I like when we learn about God.
So I want everybody to know here that this church has been so incredibly generous to Tesoro Club. I'm not here today at all to ask you to do more. You're doing a tremendous amount, but I just wanted you to see what you are doing, what your gifts are accomplishing, and to let you know that that your support is extremely appreciated, and I think it's cool for you to have a chance to see what you are accomplishing for the Lord. Some people ask me sometimes, well, how does a farmer end up in a kids ministry, running a kids ministry? And many of you probably remember the old Family Life days, Awanas. I was kind of like the Gestapo leader in Awanas, you know. I had responsibility for the boys. And many of you remember Jim Welch and Cynthia Moses. They taught me how to do kids ministry. I look back on those days, and it was like I learned how to do everything wrong and how to correct it. And some of the kids that are associated with this church now. In fact, I saw Daniel Gebhardt the other day. He was one of my 11-year-olds, and Chris Johnson. Many of you know. Today, those two are incredibly outstanding, high achieving young men. As 11-year-olds, every Tuesday night, they made my life miserable. And I was really hard on them. But I look back now and I understand now that's just what 11-year-olds do. It's just how they are. And so I'm a lot easier on 11-year-olds today than I was back then. I didn't have the patience back then. But I want to share a story back then from back in those days about our Awana ministry. I call it my Jimmy Laker story. Jimmy Laker was a kid who somebody invited to Sunday school, and he started coming to Awana Club. Jimmy's mom was a nurse over at Eisenhower. His father was living up in Oregon, and he was basically a latchkey kid. He came home every day and he did his homework on his own. He didn't have anybody supervising him. Well, anyway, he started coming to our Awana Club, and he was one of those kids that was doing his verses every week. We had a limit. They could do 5 verses or 5 sections a week in their book. And I hadn't seen him for a couple weeks, so I called him up, and I said, "Hey, Jimmy, where are you? I haven't seen you for a while." "Oh, I'll be there. Can I catch up? Can I catch up?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" So he shows up. He's got a skateboard with him, and I didn't think too much of it. And that week, he did 17 verses of Scripture. You know, to catch up. The next week, he shows up with his skateboard again. He did 11 verses. And I asked him, I said, "Jimmy, what's up with the skateboard?" "Well, that's how I got here." So he lives in Cathedral City, came all the way over to Palm Desert or Rancho Mirage on a skateboard. So I said, "Look, Jimmy, we're going to work something out here." So I got one of my leaders that lived over in Cat City to pick him up and bring him. But those are kind of one of those defining moments where you look at what you're doing and God just affirms that what you're doing has value. It really is important. And so whenever I would get a group of WANA leaders together, I'd tell them my Jimmy Laker story. Because for me, that was one of those things that says, this is all worth it, you know. Chasing these kids around every Tuesday night and having to get off work early and actually put on a tie. Because I know you guys remember Jim Welch. He made me wear a tie, which I don't do. But it was worth it. Because that one kid just reminded me of how worth it is. Well, I'd like to share a scripture with you. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be in the book of Corinthians this morning a little bit. And there's two sections of scripture here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's verses 10 through 14. That talks about building a foundation. And then later we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:10 when it talks about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. But if you guys, everybody got it? Okay, so I'd like to read the 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 10. And it says, by the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to the light, or to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through flames. And the other verse I'd like to share with you, you don't have to look it up, but it's 1 Corinthians 5:10. And it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for everything that is done. Okay? That verse just rings in my ear all the time. For I'm going to stand before Jesus. Now, this isn't the great white throne. It's not the judgment of salvation versus damnation. But this is a judgment seat where Jesus is going to judge what we do. Okay? And this passage in 1 Corinthians, when it says here, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But this phrase, but each one should be careful how he builds. This verse really struck me as something I need to carefully consider. Most of you know I'm in the produce business. I spent my entire life growing vegetables and, you know, things like bell peppers and watermelons and lettuce and all kinds of things. That's my entire career has been spent doing that. And basically, every box of produce that I've ever produced in my lifetime, within 2 weeks after I've packed it and shipped it off, it's gone forever. It'll never have value again, ever. Well, there's no legacy there. There's no permanency there. There's nothing there that really matters. It's good to be able to make an income and be able to give people jobs. But apart from that, when I stand before Christ in that day, every box of produce that I've packed in my lifetime will count for nothing. It will have no value. But that cross that sits in my office with all his names on it, I look at that cross a lot and I think about that day. And I think about the time when that will count for something when that day comes. So this idea of building carefully what we do. Now, everybody in this church I know is this is a church that serves. You guys are all amazing servants. And so, you know, I'm not encouraging anyone to do what I do, because what I do is a special calling. I didn't volunteer for it. I didn't want to be picked to do it. I was called to do it. It was a calling. But this foundation, it goes on in this passage and it talks about how any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, if any man builds on this foundation, no matter what he uses, his work will be shown for what it is. No matter whether you use something perishable or something that's theoretically has permanence, it's going to be shown for what it has, the value that it has. Because the day is going to bring it to light, and it will be revealed. It's going to be tested. Okay? It's going to be tested with fire, and that fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, I look at ministry. People come to me all the time and want to volunteer for ministering to Soro Club. And I tell people all the time, you don't volunteer for this. You're called. Because basically, if God doesn't call you to do this, then this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. being honest with it, just being honest with people, doing kids ministry in East Valley is a calling because it's a commitment that you cannot, those kids are going to show up whether you show up or not. And so I tell people all the time, I says, okay, are you truly called? You need to pray about that because it means you got to be here every Saturday, every other Saturday, or every Monday night, or every Friday night, or every Tuesday night. You got to be here because the kids will show up. And if you're not here, who's going to do it? So it's not a volunteer thing. It's a calling. And but you know, some people, you know, people are just not called to do that. Not everybody. Some people are just called to be prayer, to just do prayer. And we love it when people pray for our kids. To us, that's just as valuable. It's just as valuable as having extra people on staff, to be honest with you. Prayer is an important part of any ministry. So whether you're called to pray, whether you're called to support, whether you're called to, you know, called to teach Sunday school here, whether you're called to lead worship, whether you're called to do ministry through BCF, it doesn't really matter what your calling is. It's just a matter of answering that calling, because that's where you build the foundation that really matters. And God's not going to judge us based on, you know, how many kids we led to Christ. He's going to judge us on how faithful we were to our calling. And the other day we had I ran into the guys at the prayer breakfast or at the Bible study, and we're talking a little bit about this. Oh, actually, I ran into another group, and we're talking a little bit about this whole idea. And the subject came up of calling, and I believe this, and this was kind of the general agreement within our group. If you're not currently called, then you're being prepared to be called. Okay? If you're not currently doing something that is a calling from God, then you're in between callings. That means God is preparing you for a calling that he's going to give you at some point in time. But he wants to use all of us, I believe. I consider it an incredible privilege to be able to do what I do. Sometimes it drives me crazy. We have to be crazy to do what I do, but, you know. People ask me all the time, they say, well, aren't you scared to death to have a bunch of kids running around your packing house? I go, yeah. But aren't you scared to death to have vans running all over the valley picking kids up where ultimately the liability stops with me? Yeah. Yeah, I'm scared. Aren't you scared to, you know, have, you know, taking kids to places like, you know, tell you a story. Some of the stuff that we do scares the daylights out of me. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter. If God's calling us to do it, then there's no reason to fear. So everybody thinks, a lot of my contemporaries in the farming business think I'm completely crazy to do what I do. And I love it. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'm crazy, you know, because being crazy sometimes is an act of faith. And so doing some of the crazy stuff we do, it's scary, but it's really cool. But I'll give you a story. Last year, we had took a group of junior high kids. I think we had like 3 van loads. We took them to the swim, pool, the public pool in Palm Desert. And so when it came time to all the kids to load up in the vans, all of a sudden we're missing one kid. And we're like, uh-oh. Well, poor Nancy, she was the one responsible, and she was looking all over the place, couldn't find this kid. Well, so she finally took the vans that were loaded up and sitting ready to go. She sent them on down to our facility in Thermal, and she stayed there with a couple staff members still looking all over the place for this kid, and they had to call the police and whatnot. Well, it turns out the kid was hiding under the seat in one of the vans. You know, I mean, so, you know, it was, we ended up having to call that kid's dad. The dad showed up, and here's the kid hiding. And so had to call Nancy and go, hey, you know, it's okay. Well, she absolutely got chewed out by a police sergeant over there in Palm Desert. Just got, you know, really chewed out big time. But those are some of but you know what? And we talk about, well, how do we, well, you know, there's some things we can do to adjust that. But you know what? We're going to keep sending kids to that pool. We're going to continue to send kids to Knott's Berry Farm. We're going to continue to load kids up in vans and take them to camp, even if there's a risk, even if it's crazy, because we believe that there's some eternal value to all of that, no matter how crazy it sounds. And where this verse became real to me, little background. So 20 years ago, Patty and I went on a mission trip to Dominican Republic. And I suggest anybody can go on a short-term mission trip, no matter how scary, do it. We used to be in the habit of taking groups of people on mission trips to places like Ecuador or Dominican Republic. I don't know where else we went. What's that? Costa Rica. Anyway, well, this trip, we met with a local missionary. And at that time in the Dominican Republic, all of the sugarcane factories were shut down. There was something going on with the exchange rate or whatever, and all those factories were completely shut down. Well, you can imagine, you've got all these workers out in the fields in these villages whose average income is about $3 or $4 a day, and they're not working. So the only thing they've got to eat is sugarcane, basically. So a group of us went down to a warehouse in the capital city. We bought a whole truckload worth of beans and rice and coffee and oil and flour and whatnot, and we took it out to these villages. And that was an amazing thing to walk into. We did some evangelism, but we didn't limit it to people that just showed up for the evangelistic service. We gave food to anybody that showed up. And it was an amazing thing to take a box of food and walk into a home and see somebody just literally start crying. Because you look at their shelves and there's nothing there to eat. So during that trip, though, the head missionary went through this passage and quoted these verses. And that's where it kind of hit me. It really became important to me that, hey, you know what? I got to do something besides just growing vegetables. And that's how I came back, and that's how we started this whole, that's how this whole thing kind of got started, was because of that trip. But the missionary there also talked about the passage from Revelation, where it talks about that the 24 elders take their crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And the missionary there talked about the idea of what would it be like to be a Christian all your life and stand before Jesus and have nothing to offer back. And that hit me like a thunderbolt. The idea of standing before Jesus and having nothing to offer. Nothing that in this life that really counted for anything. And so that's why that verse, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, just rings in my ear all the time. All the time. And so everything we do at Tesoro, everything we do ministry-wise, is because, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of selfish. I want to have that reward, and I want to be able to hand that reward back to Jesus. That's kind of, the Bible talks a lot about rewards. And rewards is part of God's economy, you know, giving us rewards for those who are faithful in whatever it is our calling is. And I'd like to close with a letter from, if I can find it. I just lost it. Well, here it is. Sorry. We have a young lady by the name of, let me back up a second. This year, we were incredibly blessed. Someone gifted us money for scholarships for kids. And we have a lot of kids graduating this year. I think we have, 11 kids, something like that? 11 or 12 kids graduating from school this year. Kids have been part of the program for a long time. And we want to get these kids into a Christian university if we possibly can. So we currently have 3 kids at Cal Baptist University, which is one of our favorites. We've got some kids at Grand Canyon University. Anyway, somebody gifted us a lump sum of money just for scholarships. And this is an incredible blessing because we have a big group of high schoolers this year. They're graduating high school. And we have a group of kids that are all qualified to go to CBU, which we love CBU. And the reason we do, we have one girl there that's now, her name is Jetzel. She's a senior now, pre-med, and she comes from a really incredibly poor family. no resources whatsoever. We managed to get her into CBU, and when she was a freshman, she told us stories about how this was the perfect place for her for a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons is because she was in a chemistry class or a biology class, I forgot what it was, and she was with a group of students in the library, and they were struggling with some problems, so they texted their professor for questions on the problems. And 5 minutes later, the professor showed up and spent the next 3 hours with this group of kids going over stuff with them. Well, you know, at a big state university, that would probably never happen. You know, but at a small Christian school like a CBU, that's why we love CBU, and it's close. But anyway, this year, we were able to raise $40,000 to help supplement these kids with tuition and whatnot. And this is a girl by the name of Georgielli. Now, Georgielli's been a part of our club since sixth grade. She graduated top, I think she was in the top 1% of her class in high school. Really, really beautiful, brilliant young girl. Tough situation at home, no father. But I want to read, you know, basically what she had to say. This is a scholarship form she had to fill out. It says, I have been involved with Tesoro since I was in the sixth grade. I remember going to Mecca camp and after that to Makawala, which is our camp up in the mountains. Makawala is one of the first camps I ever went to. It is where I fell in love with worshiping Jesus. And I just wanted to learn more about him. So I continued to be part of Tesoro. After I started middle school, I became part of a junior high. That is where I met Nancy. Nancy really helped me through hard times by reminding me that Jesus loves me. I also attended the junior high camps, and that is where I decided to give my life to Jesus. After middle school was over, I became part of the high school group. By being part of the high school group, I joined the girls' soccer team. I helped distribute food at Oasis. I volunteered on Saturday morning kids' club when I had a chance. And through high school group, I met a very amazing people that have made a positive impact in my life. I'm truly blessed to have these people in my life. Throughout my 4 years of high school, I've tried my best to be involved with Tesoro while managing work and school. I joined the John 3:16 club at school, where I met more people who are interested in learning more about God's Word, just like me. Now that I'm graduating, I would still like to be part of Tesoro. I'm more than willing to volunteer because I want to help young people learn about God's Word the way Tesoro Club staff helped me. Now, this girl will be studying biology and engineering at CBU next year. And so I want to leave you with that because this is so cool. This is, again, one of those defining moments that makes it all worthwhile. And your support helps make this happen. I wish I could bring Georgielli here someday. I hope I can and let you guys meet this amazing young girl. But she's one of several. So anyway, I'd like to close our time together, I guess we have a few minutes, with another worship song. And it's going to be in Spanish, so you don't have to sing along with it, but I can sing of your love forever. But it'll give you a little taste of what it's like to be at a real Tesoro Club event. If I can make this work.